Today, we are concluding a sermon series. We're going to spend some time in Mark chapter 4 and Philippians 4. We're finishing a sermon series that we've been calling Storm Changers. The idea here is following the example Jesus provided and learning to not only address, but also to change the storms that we encounter in our life. The definition of storms we've been using throughout this series is that storms are dramatic situations and or events that spring up and affect daily life. Dramatic situations and or events that spring up and affect daily life. Sometimes these are events or situations that we bring on ourselves by our own actions. Sometimes they're situations or events that are brought in by other people around us. And sometimes they're just, they don't have any rational explanation. Right? Sometimes these are situations and events that come up about just as we walk through life in a world that's full of some brokenness. And one of my distinct memories when I was a kid growing up, about 8, 9 years old, was standing, we had a porch, kind of a second floor porch overlooking our driveway in Maryland. And I have this memory of standing up at that porch and watching as my dad packed up a car with stuff. And I remember watching him drive away. And I remember not knowing exactly what was happening at that moment, but I remember watching what was going on there and thinking, something's not right here. It was the beginning of a divorce. Now, it was a storm that I found myself in. I didn't create it, but I found myself in it, and I continue to experience the ramifications of that throughout life. Storms are situations that arise, and all of us deal with them. Some of them are more internal storms that we walk through. Others are more external around us. But all of us have storms that we walk through. And what we're looking at is, what does it look like in our world to invite Jesus into those storms and to be storm changers rather than just storm experiencers? Our text for this series has come out of Mark chapter 4. Let's just read through this. Mark chapter 4, this is starting in verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Over the last several weeks, we've been unpacking this and looking and applying parts of it to our world and to this definition of storms that we've been using. So we've talked about that there is a storm and that when Jesus is with you, the storm can be changed. Then after that, you might remember Pastor Micah took a nap on a cot on the stage. Glad he got up. Thought I was going to step in there for a minute, but we talked about that a storm changer gets up to face the storm, that there's a positive momentum, a facing of the storm that's there. Then we talked about last week the idea that a storm changer identifies and addresses the root cause, that there was a rebuking of the wind, that there's an identification of the root cause of the storm and a rebuking of that. This week's our big idea is that a storm changer is a peacemaker. A storm changer is a peacemaker. We've got some notes in your bulletin. If you'd like to follow along, you're welcome to. We have some notebooks out in the lobby as well if you want to hang on to those notes over time. But our big idea today is that a storm changer is a peacemaker. Maybe you've heard the picture of the thermometer versus the thermostat. The thermometer takes the temperature of what's in the room. The thermostat changes the temperature that's in the room. As storm changers, we're called to be thermostats. We're called to make a difference in that world, not just to experience the storm, but to actually change it and to infuse peace within it. So three thoughts for you today. Thought number one, the ability to transform the storm is within your reach. The ability to transform the storm is within your reach. When Jesus addresses the storm, he says, "Peace, be still." And Jesus identifies that things are not as they should be. Right? Chaos has encroached on calm. Last week we talked about the importance of knowing what's right so we can identify what's wrong. But the idea here is that Jesus recognizes that the situation is not what it should be and that peace has been encroached by chaos. Now, sometimes for us, that storm is an easy thing to acknowledge. Sometimes it's an event, it's a moment, it's a change in your relationship with someone. It's a change in your job. It's a shifting of circumstances that's so profound and marked that you can't help but notice, hey, I'm in a storm. Other times, I think the storm brews slowly in a way that takes a little while for us to recognize that we're actually in a storm. We can handle any one or two or three or maybe even four waves, but the cumulative effect of all the waves going on around us could threaten to sink us. Let me give you an example of how that played out in my life in one season. Lindsay and I, several years ago, had the opportunity to go to Brazil together on a mission trip. So we boarded planes and trains and automobiles, and the traffic rules are a little different in Brazil than they are here. After I don't even know how many hours, we wound up in Brazil with a group of college students we were working with there. A little bit of a storm there getting there, but not that big a deal. Well, we went and arrived at the resort. And we were brought into a room, white walls, two twin beds separated. I think there were sheets. There were no pillows. There was one window in the room with shutters, an open-air shutters to the outside. And outside of the shutters was a balcony where all the students put their towels. So night one, we went in, we put the beds together, we balled up clothes for pillows, we shut the shutters to the window, and we roasted in about 180-degree temperature. I don't know how hot it was. We just sat there and sweat. And we get up the next morning again, kind of jet-lagged, and all. We get out, and the students are like, why did you close the windows? We're like, well, we learned our lesson last night. We won't be doing that again tomorrow night. So we would go through the day. We served the students that we were working with there, did what we felt God had called us to do there. Got to night number two. So night number two, we learned our lesson. We opened up the shutters, and it was only 130 degrees in. But something happened. We were laying there, and we started to hear something. And the mosquito horde invaded. And we woke up the next morning. We're just covered in mosquito bites. All over our arms and legs and all. And so, again, minor storm, minor storm, minor storm. That day, sometime during the day, we found our way to a convenience store where we bought pillows, bug spray, and earplugs, figuring we'll take care of this. So that night, we took a bath in bug spray, put those earplugs in, lay down on the pillows, and finally got some rest. Until the middle of the night, knock on the door. And we opened up the door to a friend there who had a cell phone. That's the first time we'd seen a cell phone that week. It's not a good sign. And Lindsay's parents had managed to get in touch with us because her grandparents had just died in a car accident. Minor storm, minor storm, minor storm, not so minor storm. Suddenly the cumulative effect of this is huge. Sometimes the storms are massive, they're monumental in the moment. Sometimes they brew over time, but take note when the situation is not what it should be. Take note when you're in the middle of the storm. Face the storm. Here's the thing. Jesus faced the storm, but he also took action to change the storm that he was in. Jesus didn't face the storm with helplessness. He didn't face the storm with hopelessness. He commanded peace and declared authority within that storm. And here's the thing. Sometimes we have the tendency to look at Jesus and say, well, that was Jesus. This is me. If you believe in Jesus Christ, the same authority and the same power that dwelled in him dwells in you. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Your words carry weight. So part of my encouragement to you today as we wrap up this series is don't settle. Don't settle for just a recognition of the storm or even a rebuking of the cause of the storm when the presence of peace is within reach. There are far too many times in our world that we settle for less than God's best for us. When I started taking the Bible seriously in my life, I started to experience love and joy and peace and patience at different measures. It's not that I hadn't ever experienced love before. It's not that I hadn't ever experienced joy before. But somehow, as I started to surrender myself to God fully, I realized that what I was experiencing was just glimpses of God's best for me. That I was settling for less than God's best. And it wasn't until I started to live consistency in my life, in surrendering my life to God, that I started to experience peace the way that I think He wants us to experience it. Listen to this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." Don't settle for a half-hearted pursuit of peace. Don't settle for the presence of the storm. Don't settle for the identification of what's negative and a rebuke for the cause. Go that next step to infuse peace into the storm. You know, for me, that became when I started to live a consistent life, when I started to be the same person at home that I was at school, the same person at school that I was at work, the same person with my Christian friends that I was with people that had no idea who Jesus was in the first place. What does this mean for you to infuse peace into the world that you're in? Maybe it means shifting the topic of those break room water cooler discussions. Maybe it means shifting the tone of family dinners. Or maybe the choice to have family dinners. And that doesn't have to be every night. When I was in college, I was with a group of other guys that I lived with. We were going 10 different directions. But every week, there was one night a week that we knew all of us were going to be in a room around a dinner table together. Because we knew it kept us connected. What does it look like for you to infuse peace? Maybe it's the people you hang out with after school. Are those people that are helping you to infuse peace into your world, or people that are bringing chaos? The beginning of transformation is within your reach. And sometimes a declaration of vision precedes the demonstration of change. We talked about the importance of declaring vision last week. Sometimes declaring that vision will precede change actually happening in your world. Right, for Jesus, his declared vision, his purpose was to change the storm entirely. For you, part of your vision, part of your purpose should be to change your storm, to infuse peace where there would otherwise be chaos. Don't settle. Second thought for you today, peace becomes a reality when declared vision is paired with courageous action. When declared vision is paired with courageous action. See, Jesus wasn't just all talk. His words brought action. There was a peace and be still. There was direction, and yet there was also action. Information is ineffective apart from application. Like, don't live all in your mind when this should infiltrate our heart. Simply put, to be a storm changer, you have to put feet to your faith. Something our children's ministry talks about a lot, and I've learned from it myself. Now, how do we actually do that? I want to unpack a section out of Philippians 4 that where Paul actually tells us how to pursue a peace that surpasses understanding, that goes beyond, I think, human strength. Now, if you're following along with us, we've been walking through a divine mentor Bible reading plan this year. It's out in the lobby if you'd like to join with us in that. This is a passage we actually read a couple weeks ago with our divine mentor reading plan. But I just want to walk through four verses of part of what this looks like to pursue peace in our world, to be a storm changer. So Philippians 4, verse 4 starts, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." This is an upward action. Talk about courageous actions. This is an upward action. This an attitude of worship. It tends to be a lot easier when things are good than when we're in the midst of the storm. Now, God can handle our anger at times when we're angry. He can field our questions, but he asks for our praise. We can wrestle within the storm for a season, but at some point we have to land at a place where we're willing to rejoice in who he is. And an attitude that's defined by joy is often a prerequisite for peace. What does this look like? What does it look like to rejoice in the Lord always, in every season, everything that you do, to make this more a part of your rhythm, of your everyday life? Maybe it's church attendance and making this a more of a commitment to consistency. If you hear a church maybe once a month, maybe it's going to twice a month, or twice a month, maybe it's going to three times a month. Putting yourself in environments where you're invited to worship, to praise him. Maybe you extend that musical thing into your everyday life. Maybe it's a matter of dialing up some Christian music on Spotify or choosing to listen to some on your car. Infusing healthy thoughts and patterns and upward thoughts into your world, into your actions. Where do a lot of those songs come from? Straight out of the Psalms, straight out of the Scriptures. Maybe this is a season for you to spend more time in the Psalms or reading the Bible with greater consistency. What does that look for you to develop more upward actions that help you to rejoice in who God is? That help you to understand at the end of the day that there is a God and that I am not him. And that part of my calling is to surrender to his will and his desire in my world. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So there's not just upward action. There's outward action that precedes peace being in our world. Let your gentleness be evident to all. To all people. This is a corporate life that we live. One of our greatest temptations within a storm that we face is to get isolated. For the storm to become all that there is within our world. But Paul says, let your gentleness be evident to all. We're independent, but we're not alone. And a part of our vision, even as a church, is that no one here travels alone. What does this look like for you? To take on outward actions that will help you to pursue peace. Maybe it's jumping into a life group. This fall, we're going to be launching a number of life groups. Maybe it's jumping in and deciding to do life with some other people around you. Maybe at home, maybe this is a matter of going out for ice cream together or taking that vacation. The choice to spend time together, even if you are in the midst of a storm, looking to continue to live and do life. Watch out for what I'll call storm repression disorder. With other people around you, right? Sometimes we'll walk through a storm at work and we take it home with us and snap at the people at home. Or we'll walk through a storm at home and we'll come and snap at people at work. Is this just me? I've been there and done this. I've seen others do it. Watch out for those things. How we engage with others is a part of how we pursue peace within the storm that we're in. It says the Lord is near. God is with you. This is kind of a two-edged sword, I think, sometimes. The idea that God is near, on one hand, could be really comforting because God's there to guide me and to protect me and to be with me. Until I start thinking, hey, God being with me all the time means that he may actually hear everything I say and watch everything I do. And that could be a little convicting. The Lord is near. A part of our pursuing peace is moving from seeing God as part of the storm to seeing him as the creator of peace. Moving from seeing him as the one who allowed the storm to moving to seeing him as the one who is providing the way out and who's able to meet you exactly where you are and infuse peace where there might feel like there's chaos right now. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Here's the thought here. This is if we have upward actions, we have outward actions, this is an inward action. And it might be a courageous action for you. Our inward choices will ultimately impact our outward trajectory of where we're going. And turning away from anxiety can be an incredibly courageous action. We're instructed to be bold in our requests. Sometimes in the storm, we just look to sustain through the storm rather than to bring peace into it. rather than to speak peace and say, be still. Be bold with your requests. Bring them to God with strength, with courage, and see what He might do. I shared that story from Brazil earlier. I want to share with you what happened after that, because we put this into play in our world and just watch God do things that only God could do. Right in the midst of tearfulness at the news of Lindsay's grandparents passing, we chose to thank God. We chose to thank God for the time that we'd had with them, for the relationship that we'd experienced. They always wanted to go together. And there was a sense of calm or a sense of trust that, hey, they got their wish with that. They lived long and full lives. And they passed together. We just thank God for His grace that we saw at work within there. Beyond that, let your gentleness be evident to all. We walked with the students. We continued on in the ministry that we had there. We're still in Brazil. There's still a mission to be accomplished. There was still work to be done. There's things to happen. And so we engaged fully in it. We didn't make this whole trip all about us, but we continued to make it about them and about what we were there to help accomplish. We dug in with them. And then present your request to God. With the timing of how all this was working out, we thought that there was no way that we could get back to the States to be a part with the family for the funeral ceremony. We'd only been there 3 days. We thought there's no way we can possibly get back. The airlines had no sympathy on us. Well, they had some sympathy if we paid them an extra few thousand dollars, but we didn't have that to give. And so we prayed, we asked God for this, we looked into all the options, and in the end, the ministry we were working with actually picked up the tab. They said, we don't care how much it costs, you make sure you get back. We'll pay for it. We were blown away. Bought the tickets, got back. In the aftermath of things, I mean, we were blessed greatly. The family was blessed greatly. Unbeknownst to us at the moment, weeks after this had all happened, someone from the family donated the cost of those tickets and more back to the ministry. Unprovoked, unasked for. And one thing leads to another, and God ends up aligning circumstances in such a way that brings peace on all fronts. Now, her grandparents are still past. There's still sadness with that. And yet, what God did there as we followed Him, as we put these things in action, is that He brought a peace that surpassed understanding. Our job is to be faithful with what He's called us to do. God's job is to bring the answers and help infuse peace. Now, I understand all this is easier said than done. And so there's a few things that I want to bring out that will get in the way of this happening, of peace developing more fully in our life. Three things, actually. One is storm comparison. Storm comparison. This will get in the way of peace infusing in your world. My storm is not your storm. Your storm is not my storm. We all experience storms differently. And when we get into this comparison game, it does not lead to peace. More often than not, it'll lead to more chaos. You know, Lindsay and I, in our life, we early in our first year of marriage, we argued a time or two. I don't know that that happened with you who were married, but one of the things that we realized in our world that we were arguing about over and over and over again was about serious topics that we got into discussing at 10 p.m. at night. Now, it should have hit us a little sooner than it did, but for us, what we started, when we realized that pattern, we thought, you know, that's probably not wise. And from our first year to now 13 years later, we've said after about 9:30, we don't talk about anything serious. We'll still talk. We'll still engage with one another. But if it comes to topics of money or direction in life or, you know, job or renovating the kitchen or, you know, whatever it ends up being, those are topics that are just off bounds. And if something like that comes up, typically, one of us will ask the question, is it wise for us to talk about this right now? And usually the answer is no. And we move on to other things. Occasionally, we'll break that. Sometimes we'll go ahead and discuss it. There's need for flexibility in life. But for us, that was a way that we infused peace into our world. For other people, they might talk till midnight and have no problem. Some of you are night owls, and that's fine for you. For us, that was a way that we infused peace. But beware of that storm comparison. Do what's right for you and your world. Next thing, watch out for storm hype. Watch out for storm hype. Some of us magnify our storms so far beyond what they actually are. Maybe you've heard about the volcanoes that are happening in Hawaii right now. I've got a picture of what most people think that this looks like. This is kind of what I thought it would look like, actually, if I'm being honest. There's an island that all leads up to the central volcano, and that has erupted, and there's rivers of lava flowing at 55 miles an hour down the side, and it's covering all of the island of Hawaii there. The U.S. Geological Survey started publicizing this other map. This is where the lava flow actually is. In that little tip. And now I'm not being insensitive. It's a big deal for people living there. It's still creating damage, and we still want to pray for them. So I'm not belittling the impact of this, but sometimes we have a way of bringing way too much hype into a situation that's not needed. The storm becomes all there is. And really what happens is in the process, it's all about me. Right? I can't see outside of the storm that I'm facing. Watch out for storm comparison. Watch out for storm hype. Third thing, watch out for storm denial. Some of us have the tendency not to hype our storm, but to belittle our storm, to make less of it. Because you know what? Those children in Africa who are starving have it so much worse off than me. I'm so blessed. Is that true? Yeah. But in the process, sometimes we belittle the storm that we're facing, and we don't give God the opportunity to bring peace within it. Don't deny the storms that you're in. See, it's not all about me. It's not all about the hype. And it's not all about them. It's not all about denial. It's all about asking Jesus into and asking him into our storm to bring peace where there otherwise would be chaos. When you live out these verses in Philippians, when you put them into action, this is when you will become a peacemaker. This is when you'll become a storm changer. But these are actions that will only come as you choose faith. Here's the third thought for you today as we wrap things up. Faith is the key that releases peace and calms the storm. Faith is the key that releases peace and calms the storm. See, trying to be a storm changer from a human perspective is kind of ridiculous. Now, storm chaser, that makes sense. Some of us are just thrill seekers. We chase the storm. That makes sense. Some of us are storm survivors, and we're just trying to persevere through it. But being a storm changer takes faith. Think about this a little bit with me. What good is shouting at the storm going to do? Who has shouted at a storm and expected it to actually change? I think about Lieutenant Dan and Forrest Gump up at the top of that flagpole just shouting. Who shouts at the storm and actually thinks that something's going to change? This is ridiculous apart from a faith in Jesus Christ. The only thing that makes this pursuit of being a storm changer make sense, the only thing that makes it not ridiculous, is a faith in Jesus Christ. It's a faith that Jesus has the power to subdue all things under his authority. It's a faith that he, for whatever reason that's probably beyond us, has allowed that storm. It's a faith that he loves you more deeply than you can fathom, that he cares about you and wants what's good for you. My son, every night when he's in bed, prays the same prayer. At the beginning of our time of prayer, he says, Jesus, thank you that you love us and take good care of us. Jesus loves you and wants to take good care of you. And it's faith to believe that as we bring our requests to him, as we look to infuse peace into the scenarios that we're in, to bring peace to the storm, that he is able to change that storm. And if he doesn't, for whatever reason, he's able to change our hearts in the process. Until you place your faith in Jesus, you'll just be shouting at the storm. Once you place your faith in Jesus, storm-changing peace becomes a possibility. But hear this too. That storm-changing peace of Christ shatters the paradigm of peace that's offered by the world. If you look at a little bit more broader context of the story in Mark 4 we've been looking at through this series, what ends up happening is they get in the boat, the storm rages, they're afraid, they get Jesus and he calms the storm, and they're terrified. Look at the verse here, Mark 4, they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." As their focus shifted from the storm to their Savior, their fear initially increased. But also their mentality about the possibilities, their thoughts about what was possible also transformed. And let me say this, the momentary chaos of the storm cannot overcome. It will not overcome the matchless peace of Christ. When we start to experience Jesus' power to change the storms, when we start to bring peace within them, it can be momentarily unsettling because we realize we're not in control. But ultimately, it's most satisfying and most comforting because we realize that there's power behind the promise that's been made to never leave you or forsake you. There is power behind the promise that you can bring peace into your world and live within it. We started off the series by saying that all of us are experiencing storms in life. Some of those are more internal, some of those are more external. So I know everyone here probably has some storm that's around them, operating around them, maybe in you. And so as we wrap up this series, we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to bring peace. I encourage you to speak peace, to live for peace within your world. And as we wrap up our services, we worship here. If you'd allow myself or one of our elders to be a part of your story here, we'd love to pray for that peace with you. Let's bring our requests before God with boldness, with faith, with courage. And let's speak peace into the storms that we encounter. Let's pray. Jesus, we're in the midst of stuff. We walk through life. Sometimes we just mess up. And sometimes we create storms that we walk with. Lord, there are times that you, for whatever reason, put us in touch with people who create storms for us. And there are times that the storm that we're walking through just has no explanation. That we don't know exactly why, that we may never know why. And yet in these moments, I ask for faith to follow you, to seek you out, to trust you, to know that you are God and that we are not, to surrender our will to yours, but also to have the courage to speak peace into the storm that we're in. Lord, help us to live in the authority that you've given us as your sons and daughters. Holy Spirit, fill us and empower us to live the life that you created us to live. Don't let us settle for less. Don't let us settle for being lukewarm in our faith and our commitment to you. But God, give us strength to live out our faith, to experience all that you have for us as your sons and your daughters. Lord, change the storm that we're in. As we walk by faith, as we trust you, change those storms. Bring peace and let peace replace chaos. And God, let this be done in a way that shines light on the idea that you are God and that you are for us and that there is a Savior in the person of Jesus. We love you, Lord. We lift these things up to you in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.